name of Jesus, and they'll give in the name of Jesus, and they'll do everything they do in Jesus' name until it comes to baptism. And then they want to do something that somebody made up, not what the apostles did. Amen. Chapter 28 verse 1 it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was as lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Go down to verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. I want you to notice this here. Jesus is talking to all the disciples that was with him. Remember Judas, he abandoned ship and went and hung himself. But all the disciples was with him. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here you go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So I'm going to preach tonight, baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you baptized in Jesus' name? Amen. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we pray tonight your word will just minister and touch us. And Lord, help us to use this tonight, Lord. If we have obeyed your word, God, that we could take this scriptures tonight, this word tonight, and we can reach the lost, someone we're working with. God, we can take this word to them, and they can be changed by the power of the name of Jesus. There is no other name, God. Oh, that I thank God you applied that to my life one day, and you turned my life around, Lord Jesus. You washed away me clean, every sin that was upon my life, God. And now I'm free, Lord, by the power of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. You may be seated. So you don't need to look very far into the Acts of the Apostles to see that the Bible clearly states that water baptism is essential for salvation. Where people get off with, you don't need to be baptized, it's just a good thing to do, and it's just a something that good for your conscience sake. I'm here to tell you tonight, baptism is essential. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. There's no way around it, because that's the only way that you can have sin remitted from your life, through baptism. Amen. With that said, the formula, what's said over you when you are baptized, must be correctly administered in baptism to be valid. Amen. If it's done any other way than what is spoken in the Word of God, then you're just getting wet. Amen. And your sins are still there. Amen. And the blood of Jesus Christ is not applied to your life. So it's vitally important that we have the formula of baptism correct. Here's the correct way. Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, first he said to repent. Great word there. Amen. Without repentance, there is no remission of sins. Amen. You must repent. That means I'm not going to live the way I want to live anymore. I'm going to live the way God wants me to live. Amen. I'm going to do things the way God wants me to do them from here on out. I've repented. I've turned around. And then it says, and be baptized. There you go. It's pretty simple. Be baptized. And he didn't stop there. It says, every one of you. So everyone, everywhere must, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, the washing away, the cleansing, the taking away, he remits them as if they had never happened. Everything from the point of baptism till you were an infant, before you were born, God remits even that curse that was upon every man. The curse of sin is totally in God's eyes. He sees that sin no more. Repented. Remission. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What a powerful scripture. Amen. In the Word of God, the very essence of our beginning into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The death, the burial, the resurrection of our own lives. Praise God. That's why the scripture says we are buried with him in baptism. That like as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. I must be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. For my sins to be remitted. Amen. Baptism is for remission. It's for freedom. It's for pardoning of sin. Amen. First Peter 3:21 says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Baptism saves us. Amen. Baptism is important in everybody's life because it's a part of my salvation experience. Titus 3:5-7 says, not by the works of righteousness which ye have done, things that you do that are right, but according to the mercy, His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So it speaks of baptism again. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus Christ, that being justified by the grace, by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. By the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ gives you a right to the inheritance of Almighty God. Amen. You just became royalty when you were baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. You have had His, everything that He owns is for you. Amen. You are His child. He has adopted you into this holy nation, this royal priesthood. Amen. That's why we don't have to go to the priest and talk to the priest and tell him our sins and tell him why we don't want it. We did this wrong, Father. We did that wrong. And I can go straight to Jesus and say, God, I messed up today. Forgive me. I call upon the name of Jesus to flood over my soul again. And the renewing of the blood flows over my life afresh and anew. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Amen. That's why I have freedom in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because the blood, it washes and cleanses my life. It will wash and cleanse your life if you will call upon the name of Jesus. Amen. Romans 6:3. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In other words, don't keep walking the way you've been when before Christ. Amen. Don't keep sinning the way you were. Don't keep acting the way you were. Don't keep talking the way you were. Because you have killed the old man and you buried him. Now it's time to let the new man rise. That's why you need the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's why you need the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. When God takes over, God's in control now. The new man. Amen. The one that's full of Christ. The one that's full of His power and His anointing. Amen. That's supernatural power working inside of us. Where was I? Did I read all them verses? Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen. I don't have to serve sin because of the blood. Amen. I don't have to be bound by my faults and by the things that overtake me, because I can go back to my knees and I can cry out the name of Jesus, and His blood is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. Amen. You don't have to go to hell. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you. The Holy Ghost will give you power to overcome everything in your life. Amen. We don't have to go there. Amen. It wasn't created for us anyhow. Amen. We can go to heaven rejoicing in the blood. Hallelujah. Baptism identifies us with Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't figure out what you are. Get baptized in Jesus' name. It identifies you with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will help you discover who you are. Amen. You can walk around telling people, I'm a child of the King. I have royalty in my bloodline. Amen. Colossians 2:12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God that he died on a cross and shed his innocent blood so that me, you, and everyone in this room and everyone out there can be forgiven of our trespasses against Jesus. Amen. He has shed his blood so that we can be saved from our sins. Remember, that's what the angel told Mary. You must call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. That's why we got to be changed, because it's from the sin, not in the sin, and continue in sin and continue doing the things that displease God. Amen. We got to walk away from some things. We got to become separate from the world. Amen. We don't need to look like the world. We don't need to act like the world. We don't need to talk like the world. We are separate. We are a peculiar people. Amen. That's why they look funny at you when you say, oh, I got to go. It's church time. You're not going to work over? No, I got to go to church tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I had those looks today. Time you got to leave. 3:00. See you later. Hallelujah. Because I'm a peculiar people. Amen. I believe in being in the house of God. I believe in walking in faith and trusting the things of God in my life. Galatians 3:27. It says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So baptism puts Christ on us. Not saying the sinner's prayer, God, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. That doesn't put anything on me. If anything needs to happen, Jesus needs to say, I accept you, Matt Roberts, as my personal sinner. God is, he is perfect. He is without sin. Why do I need to ask him to accept me into my life? Amen. I need to put him on me so that I can become a better person. Amen. Because I'm not God. I'm never going to be perfect. But by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's what makes me righteous. I can't do this on my own. I say things that hurt. I say things that don't feel right with you, or just I'm this way or I'm that way. I'm not perfect, but I'm striving, and I'm letting the Holy Ghost work in me, and the Holy Ghost is moving and changing me and helping me. And when I mess up, I can say, Jesus, Lord, I really didn't do that right. Will you forgive me? And the blood of Jesus Christ comes flooding back over my spirit, and I can live righteous. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's not that I'm better than anybody else. I'm not a goody two-shoes. No, I have his shoes that shed his blood, amen, flowing in my life, because I put on Christ in me in baptism. I put on the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When I joyously received it. Hallelujah. For the very first time. And I'm not let up. And I've let it continually flow in my life. And let the power of the Holy Ghost every morning be renewed in me. Amen. His mercy is new every morning. You can have the mercy of God in your life every day. Praise God. It's awesome. Praise God. So let's look at actual baptisms in the Bible. The book of Acts and the epistles clearly teach that the early church baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and established a pattern for us to follow. So ask your neighbor if they were baptized in Jesus' name. Anybody here? Amen. It's important. So there's only one verse in the Bible could possibly allude to in any other baptismal formula. And that is Matthew 28:19. It says, therefore we must. So this scripture, it seems like. Well, you know, Jesus did say that. Jesus did say in Matthew 28:19, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah, he did. But right before he said Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he said in the name of those. Jesus is the Father. Amen. He said, I and my Father are one. Amen. And he is the Son. Amen. He was created. Amen. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. Amen. And the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, and he became her, the father of that body that was created in Mary. Amen. But the Father dwelt in the body of Jesus. That's how he is the Father. He is his own Father. Amen. Praise God. He created himself. He created the little man called Jesus. The one that got lost with Mama and Joseph. Amen. God himself created that body so that he could become the supreme sacrifice, so that he could become what we need. Amen. And he did that. When he died, he went back up into heaven. He resurrected back up into heaven. But before he left, he said, I'm going to send the Comforter, but you got to go tarry in Jerusalem now, because the Holy Ghost, my Spirit, I'm going to send to you. And it shall be in you. Amen. I am going to come and dwell in you. Praise God. The Holy Ghost. Amen. And he just chose the evidence of speaking in tongues to be revealed that Spirit, his Spirit, is inside of us. That's why it's so hard for some of us to accept. It's because it's a supernatural event. It's not a natural thing. I can't find a tool or a wrench or a screwdriver or a grinder or anything that can figure out why he chose it to happen that way. But God supernaturally, way out there, figured that's the way I want to do it. And so therefore, I just need to receive the Holy Ghost. And when I do, I'm going to speak funny words. Words I don't understand. Supernatural words. Because if you read in your Bible, it says they heard them speak the wonderful works of God when they spoke with tongues. Wouldn't you like to speak the wonderful works of God when you're uttering utterance that you don't even know what you're saying? And you just know, hey, God said That's just words from heaven. Amen. The power of his presence flowing in your life. Woo! Hallelujah. Supernaturally from God. Woo! In the name of Jesus Christ was also preached in Acts 2, in Acts 8, Acts 10, and Acts 19. Galatians 3:27 also teaches the name of Jesus. Romans 6:3-5 talks about the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:12-13 and 6:9-11 and Colossians 2:12. All these scriptures point to the name of Jesus Christ when you're baptized. Amen. But most of the Christendom have chosen the words of Jesus in Matthew. They don't even realize that Matthew was written some 30 years after the day of Pentecost. They were baptizing in Jesus' name all that time. And then somewhere after Matthew's gospel was written, somebody got a hold of that and said, hey, I think we can trick some people to believing that they need to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost by just twisting a little bit right here. And doesn't that sound like the enemy? Amen. Just eat this little apple and everything is gonna, he just don't want you to know the things that he told you he didn't want you to know. He got the whole world deceived. And there's so many scriptures that point to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Not baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ. Because my Bible says that thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. My God is a jealous God. Amen. He is by himself. Amen. He is alone. He don't need help from any other entity. So when I'm baptized, I must be baptized the way he instructed his men before he ascended up into heaven to be baptized in. Now, the possible reasons the two different phrases occur in the scripture is that the two contradict, and we must choose one over the other. But this, we know, can violate biblical principles. We know that the scripture doesn't, amen, contradict itself, amen. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God, through the Holy Ghost, amen, inspired men that were lovers of God, that were sold out to doing things righteously and holy. Amen. God, through the Holy Ghost, inspired men to write his holy word. And this word, in this verse, it says, and is profitable for doctrine. That's what we're talking about right now. Doctrine. Doctrine of salvation. For reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So the Word of God does all those things. It helps us out. Helps us how to walk right, talk right, act right, live right, do things right. Amen. And it'll help you if we get in it and read it and find out what it can bless us in. Amen. Amen. And not balk at it. Not say, ah, that's not for me. That was for way back then. No, let the Holy Ghost, let the Word of God teach you and help you to become more righteous. Praise God. So all scripture was given by God. So that means I can't just pick and choose the scripture that I want for my life. Amen. I have to follow all Scripture. So all Scripture can be reasoned together to find out what really God wanted me to do. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. So the word, the Scripture, is for our learning. It's for to help you have a hope of eternal life. Amen. It's not here to hurt us. It's here to strengthen us, to build us up, to encourage us. Some people say that I would rather choose the words of Jesus in Matthew 28:19 over the words of Peter in Acts 2:38. I had a man tell me that right here in this church. I showed him every scripture I could show him where everyone that was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I said, even in Matthew 28:19, it says in the name. They did exactly what he said. Those men that were with him, right as he was ascended. Remember I told you all of them was with him? He was being taken up out of here. And he gave them instructions. Go to Jerusalem and wait there. Something powerful is going to happen. My Spirit's going to come and be in you. And Peter, he had instructed to give the words of eternal life. Peter preached the very first message. Amen. He opened the keys, took the keys of the kingdom. Amen. Gave him the keys of how to get into eternal life, to the kingdom of God. And words that he spoke, if we obey those words, gives us access to the kingdom. And it's just that, access. There's a whole lot more to living for God than having the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, and being baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. If you read a little bit more in those scriptures, it says, and with many other words did he instruct them. So he told them there's a whole lot more here to living for me than just getting the Holy Ghost and that's it. Amen. It's continual. You must keep that fire burning. Remember, you're a priest, a holy priesthood. The priest in the Old Testament had to keep the fire burning. They couldn't let it go out. Everywhere they went, they picked up the tabernacle, they left, they had to keep the fire burning. Wherever they left and went and moved to, the fire had to continually stay burning. That's a type of our lives the Holy Ghost in us must continually stay burning. Amen. So, I get off the subject a little bit, but hey, if this is true, then we can celebrate the Lord's Supper. If being baptized with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we can just celebrate the Lord's Supper with cake and punch and sprinkle baptismal candidates with rose petals and all this fun stuff. Amen. Because it really doesn't. The two phrases describe two different baptismal formulas, either of which is acceptable. Now, this seems to make the Bible contradict itself on salvation issues. And this also minimizes the significance of the baptismal formula. It also indicates that there can be conflicting methods of baptism. Ephesians 4:5. Sums it all up. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody has it wrong. Somebody hasn't read their Bible. Amen. Because I can't just believe any old way and be right with the word of God that's going to judge me in the end. Amen. I must follow the scripture as it was written. Amen. There is no historical evidence that the early church used both formulas of baptism. There's no evidence of it. You can find one evidence of one baptism. If Jesus gave one form and the apostles used another, the early church disobeyed the Lord from the beginning. And this all is a big old lie. And we're wasting our time. Amen? I don't believe that would have happened. I can guarantee you, if Peter would have got up and preached what he wanted to preach, that God would have sent down fire from heaven and struck him dead. Amen? But I don't believe he did that. Amen? I know he didn't do it because they had a hold of something. When they left Jerusalem, they were different boys. They were cowering in behind the rocks and hiding from every soldier and hiding from all the people and everything till after the day of Pentecost. And then, go ahead, Brother Prent. Absolutely. They preached from that day forward. Even when they were locked up for preaching the name, they were thrown into prison. And the angels would come running. Come on, get out of here. You get back out there and preach that name. What are you doing in here? Get back out there. But so what? Jesus said to preach in his name, and they did it without fear, and they did it with boldness. Amen. They took notice of these men because they had been with Jesus. Something was on fire in these men. Something had the attention of all the them that were in power at that time. Amen. They were shaking in their boots because they didn't know what was going on. But there was something going on in these boys. Amen. And these people, God had hold of them, and the power of God was moving in them, and God was working in their lives, and they were seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. People were being healed. People being raised from the dead. Man, all kinds of great things was happening because of the name of Jesus Christ. Power in that name. You're a part of something powerful in this little church here tonight. Amen. This is a power keg getting ready to blow up. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, "This is the third time I am coming to you in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Shall every word be established?" With that being said, we can begin with the accounts in the Acts of the, and interpret Matthew 28:19. Matthew recorded the words of Jesus in Matthew 28:19. Also, Matthew was present with Peter on the day of Pentecost. Remember, all 11 of them went. They were all there, plus the others, Mary and the mother of Jesus and all the others. 120 of them to be exact. In Acts 2:37, it says, Now when they heard this, talking about the people that had crucified the Lord, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles. No, before I go on, remember, Pentecost was a celebration. So all the people from all the other world at that time, the whole world at that time, came to Jerusalem for the feast. So the whole world was there. And they heard him. He had just preached to them about how they had crucified the Lord. And so when he preached, they got convicted. And they were sorry for what they just did. They realized he brought them to the attention that they had just crucified the Lord of glory. And they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, "Men and brethren, what can we do? What shall we do?" So this is where Peter preached. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter answers in Acts 2:38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." If Peter's answer in Acts 2:38 was wrong, Matthew would have corrected him. Because Matthew wrote what Jesus said. But he did not. He stood with him as he preached. And they baptized 3,000 that day. Because the Bible says they were all 3,000 were added to the church that started right there on the day of Pentecost. Amen. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. It's important to be baptized the correct way. So now we know that it was only 1 to 2 weeks that separated Jesus speaking in Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2:38. The timeline when it comes to what he said, when he said it, it was only a couple weeks till the day of Pentecost. It wasn't like it was years. It was just within a couple of weeks. We also know that both apostles understood that the two statements were in harmony. Matthew didn't write his gospel until, like I said, 62 to 63 AD. The church had baptized those for 30 years before they could read the account in Matthew's gospel. So invariably, the church invariably baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul, when he was turned around on that road and struck down by God, the voice he heard crying out from heaven should have been to him, "Jehovah, I am Jehovah." But that voice didn't say that. That voice said, "I am Jesus, whom you are crucifying." Amen. So he got up from there and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Because Ananias was a disciple. Amen. He was one of the way. And he baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. And Paul went on to preach Jesus Christ from that very moment. Amen. It's important. So in light of all we have said up to now, what does Matthew 28:19 teach us? It teaches that there is a name to be baptized in, not titles. Matthew Henry said it like this: "We are not baptized into the names, but into the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Which plainly intimates that these are one and their name one. Hallelujah, because there's only one God. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Isaiah 52:6 says, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the risen Lord of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Zechariah 14:9 says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. Hallelujah. What is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? His name is Jesus. Matthew 1:21 says, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus is a mighty, mighty name. John 5:43 says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. But if I come in my name, you won't receive me. And that's what they were saying, Brother Pritt. They were upset because Jesus was running around claiming that he was God. That fired up the Jews. They thought, who is this guy thinking that he, this human man, claiming to be God? He not only showed them, amen, he came back to live in many of them. Hallelujah. Malachi 2:10 says, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? So including the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Father is also holy. Isaiah 54:5 says, for thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Lord of the whole earth shall he be called. And a spirit. God is a spirit. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Had somebody tell me just recently that, boy, I go to this church over here now and they just sure don't worship like you guys do. They sure, there's something about way that you guys worship. And the first thing that come to my mind was this scripture right here. Because we worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. There's something about when God's people get together and exalt the name that is above every name. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. They bring spirit and truth together. And the power is revealed. And God does great things. And mighty things happen in the spirit. So friends, the title Holy Spirit simply describes the nature of God. Holy. God is holy. Amen. And what God is, he is spirit. Amen. That's why he had to form a body. Because the spirit is here. Spirit's here right now. Amen. God's spirit is here. I can't see it. I can feel it. He's here. Amen. when he walked on earth, he was inside of that body, that flesh. That's why he was God and man at the same time. People say, well, what about John's baptism? You know, the Spirit, God was speaking, you know. Well, who was he talking to? Himself. If you were God, wouldn't you talk to yourself? How many of you can honestly say you talk to yourself? Come on now. You sit in your car and you've had a conversation. I can't believe that person done that to me, Bob. This is what I'm going to tell them tomorrow. You wait till I get to work. I'm going to... Oh, boy. If that boss was right here right now, he'd have it for me. Every one of us have had a conversation in our mind with ourselves. Amen? And so why can we be so... The world be so righteous to say, was God talking to himself? Yeah. He's God. He can do anything he wants. He's miraculous. He is omnipresent. He is mighty. He's powerful. Why can't he talk to himself? Amen. He said he did it. Why can't I believe him? Hallelujah. God can do anything. Amen. That's why he must be Lord over me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He is going to have the last word. Because my Bible says one day every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that you are Lord God. You were right. And I didn't obey you. And I didn't follow you. Because I wanted to do things my own way. I wanted to follow my own thoughts. I wanted to follow my own desires. And because he's bound by his word, he's going to have to say, I'm sorry, but I don't even know you. Depart. Depart from me. Some people say, why would a loving God do that? A loving God has given his word. You can find this book on every shelf in America. You can go to the library, they're there. You can go to the Goodwill, and Goodwill has them by the dozens. You can find them in every hotel room. Amen. You flip on your phone, it comes up on your phone. Amen. God has given his instruction. Why haven't we followed it? The loving God has poured out the Holy Ghost. It's simple to receive. All we got to do is repent and praise God. Amen. And let him in. Amen. Let him do what he wants to do. Amen. His power comes inside of us, and we can have forgiveness of sins when we walk in the power of God. Amen. There's nothing like living for Jesus Christ. Luke 24, 47 through 49 says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And that's where it started. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. These are the words of Jesus compared with Acts 2:38, the words of Peter. Jesus commanded in his name. Peter obeyed in his name. Amen. And so did the rest of the 119 and then the 3,000 that day. They obeyed, just like Peter did. All three gospel accounts describe a name in which disciples are to proclaim the gospel. So in closing here tonight, Matthew 28:19 does not contradict the rest of Scripture. No, it teaches the same truth as the Acts of the Apostles. It describes the name of Jesus as the name in which to be baptized. The proper way to understand and obey the command of Jesus in Matthew 28:19 is to follow the example of the apostles. They are ones to whom Jesus directly and personally gave the command. When we obey Jesus in Matthew 28:19, in light of the rest of the scripture, we will be baptized for the first time. Or some of them were re-baptized because they didn't get baptized correctly. They weren't ashamed. They knew they wanted what God had said, because they didn't understand some things. So they had to be re-baptized in the correct formula, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, because it's internally important. Amen. To get baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know the exact spot, but at one time when Jesus, after he had risen from the dead and he was walking with the disciples, he prayed for them that we would receive this gospel through their words, the apostles. So therefore, I can take the words of the apostles as truth from God. That's why he chose 12 men to walk with him throughout his ministry, so that he could teach them, so that he could prove that they would could be trusted to carry the gospel, the good news, to each and every one of us. And they did that perfectly. They preached, be baptized in the name, be filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, and live righteous. Let's stand. Take this message to somebody.